Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Wednesday, May 14th, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 97, paragraph 2. The paragraph begins with, "We seldom allow an alcoholic," and ends with, creates serious complications in a family." Today's readers are Laura W. for the 12 steps, Nancy D.M. for the 12 traditions, Janice P.M. will read and comment on our reading today, and Leslie M. will read page 164. We have Alex K. here to greet newcomers, and Jody E. will close us out with some announcements. Thank you all for your service. The OA preamble. Oops. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 22427. That's 22427. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 22430. That's 22430. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. Excuse me. Neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Laura W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you for your service, Lord W. And I will now ask Nancy D.M. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy D.M., compulsive eater and anorexic in Southeast PA. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to compulsive eaters who still suffer. 6, an OA group ought never endorse finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain ever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy DM. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 97, paragraph 2, and I will now ask Janice P.M. to please begin reading for us.
And thank you so much, Elaine. This is Janice P.M., and I live in Massachusetts, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. We seldom allow an alcoholic to live in our homes for a long time. It's not good for him, and it sometimes creates serious complications in a family. Two sentences, and like you said, powerful. Well, I can identify in this paragraph, and I cannot identify. What I'm saying is I never allowed anybody, a compulsive overeater, alcoholism in my family, compulsive overeating, but they were my family because, see, I was too ashamed to have anybody come in my home because there was disease there. And of course, you know, it wouldn't be good for them anyway, because it wasn't good for my family. You know, this creates, and even though, you know, I had to put my son out and all that, it creates serious complications in the family. What creates serious complications? Disease. Disease creates, whether it's from somebody coming in or in your own family, in my own family. And boy, oh boy, I did experience that. And of course, until I was fortunate and gifted from God, I call my higher power God, to enter Al-Anon first. Well, when this book was written, they didn't have Al-Anon. They had the Oxford group. And this is what they used to do. You know, they didn't have a fellowship like we do today. Some areas have O-Anon for compulsive overeaters, Al-Anon, if somebody's drinking behaviors bother you. So I was fortunate to enter that program of the 12 steps before I found out that I was the problem. I had a disease. So, you know, my family, my home, which was the hardest place to work, was the battleground because I was always fixing, trying to fix. This is my nature, trying to manage and trying to control, just like I did with the food and my behaviors and the behaviors of others. There's the problem. And I know today, by the grace and mercy of God, our high, my higher power, that I can't do this. I can't fix anybody, because if I could, I would have fixed myself, right? So there was a lot of battlegrounds in my home, you know, because of me, because the seriousness that I was the controller and I was trying to do God's job. And, you know, this book is teaching us that no matter how good in recovered a sponsor is, I'm not the fixer. And, you know, I want to be the fixer because, I have an ego. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an addict. And I want to say, oh, isn't she wonderful? No, yeah, wonderful. I have my own disease that I have to get a life of my own. And I learned both in this program that the purpose of me as a sponsor, as a mother, is not for them. Yeah, thank you. I'll wrap up. My job as a mother is for me to become unnecessary, you know, as far like I as a sponsor, and I need a higher power, not a relationship with a sponsor. That's my goal, is to guide them to a higher power to fix, control, and manage their life. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Janice P.M. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you haven't shared in the last couple meetings, we would love to hear from you. We'll take a lineup. Star one to unmute.
Michelle C.
Michelle C. Who else? We're commenting on page 97, paragraph 2. Please go ahead, Michelle.
Wendy M.
You'll be followed by Wendy M.
Hi, yes, good morning. This is Michelle C. in California. Thank you so much for getting us started. Michelle C. in California. I'm on steps 8, 9, and 10 right now. And, you know, I've been thinking about sponsoring, as, you know, in this past couple of chapters I've been about sponsoring and thinking about that. And, you know, when I've been listening and reading to these paragraphs, you know, my initial reaction is like, oh, wow, no, thank you. Like, this is seems like so much, especially to invite someone into your home. And just grateful for people putting things in perspective and for how our fellowship has developed. Because, right, it would not be good to let someone be in our home for a long time. It's not good for them, and it does create complications in the family. So I'm glad that there's this awareness around that, that we are just not someone's shelter. You know, temporary help, absolutely. And I really appreciate how everyone has been sharing and kind of reframing this chapter, that working with others is really about helping them get in touch with a higher power, with, you know, what I call God, and, you know, that only through having a higher relationship with a higher power can we overcome our addictions, can we overcome our compulsive overeating. And I'm just grateful that I've been able to hear so much about the steps through this group. It's been really life-changing for me, and it keeps me going, because I'm certainly not motivated to keep working my steps. As you know, when you get to step 8 and 9, it's not fun, but I know that that psychic change is coming once I work those steps and living in steps 10, 11, and 12. So thank you everyone for all your shares and kind of reframing of this book. It really has enlightened my day. And this is Michelle C. in California. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle C. Wendy M., please share with us, and then we'll take another lineup.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Elaine, thank you so much for your service, everybody on the line. Again, I say this all the time, I'm just learning so much about how to treat people I'm learning so much about relationships because, and I say it every time, I ate over relationship. That is my primary reason I ate. So this shows me in a divinely inspired manner how to treat people. So a couple of things. I'm noticing in this moment, this paragraph as well as others, that I really made sponsoring about Wendy. You know, how can I, page 62, 63, how can I exert myself more? How can I blame them when I'm uncomfortable? How can I, like, it's all about me. And the other day someone said something to me and she said, what if sponsoring was about the program? In other words, what if the project at hand when I'm on the call with the sponsee, what if the project was, what does her program need? What is needed here? When I take myself out of that equation, oh my God, everything flies, everything's grand, everything's fantastic. And what a relief. Sponsoring isn't about Wendy. It's about what is called for here. What does God want us to be doing with this person in the program, their program? And the other thing this really is about is saying no, right? And as a people pleaser, codependent, compulsive overeater, I barely said the word no. I didn't know it existed. And not only was I not saying no to people, in this case, somebody asking me for a favor, a large favor, saying no to the food, right? First and foremost, right? Setting that boundary. I have a yes and I have a no. And that's what it teaches me. And also, I identify with the person who's needing. I've spent so much of my life dependent on all of you, dependent on people, emotionally dependent, not so much financially, but just really thinking that my okayness, I'll only be okay if I'm dependent on you, heavily dependent on you. And this teeny little two words, two sentences shows me, no, we're dependent on God. I no longer have to be dependent on you for any of these things. And that's the freedom that we get in this program. The minute we're dependent upon God, it frees me up. It's not about me, right? This whole book is about the death of self. It's not about me. And I no longer have to be dependent on you. And I've spent so much of my life, you know, not burning mattresses, but absolutely. And that's kept me in bondage to Wendy, and it's kept me not useful to you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. Okay, it's a short paragraph. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Star one to unmute. And though somebody may not come live in our homes, they may try to live in our lives in ways that are not good for us. So love that boundary setting behavior. Who would like to comment?
Amy N. from Florida.
Amy N.
Sherry H.M., Washington.
Sherry H.M. Who else?
Jody E.
Jody E. Anyone after Jody? Okay, let's go with Amy N. Sherry
Elizabeth
H.M.
A.
Elizabeth A., gotcha. You'd be right after Jody E. Anybody else in this lineup? Okie doke. Amy N., Sherry H.M., Jody E., and Elizabeth A. Then we'll take some more. Please share with us, Amy.
Thank you so much. I'm Amy N. from Florida, recovering compulsive overeater. I just need to share today, and I am somebody that has come back from relapse a couple of months ago, and had actually, it's funny that this is a paragraph, because I had an experience with that this morning in terms of, like, my sponsor sponsoring me, and I was really agitated and just, like, in my head about something, and kept getting more in my head about something the more that I tried to get out of my head, and was trying to listen to, like, my intuitive thought and my higher power, and it just was, like, overwhelming. And I called her and we talked this morning, and something that was really interesting, I guess, and apparent was that she was trying to help me figure this out for myself, as in start to do a 10th step on this myself and connect with my higher power so that I was not reliant on her every time that I was in my head about something that I did not need to, you know, like I could turn to my higher power. And we ended up like talking things through. And it was just a very different thing for me, I guess, because it helps me to realize like the whole point of this. Like I do have fellows and I do have a sponsor and I do have all of these people that I can turn to when I am like so deep in it that I just can't see the way out. But I am grateful that my sponsor is, the emphasis is on my own connection with my higher power, and that ultimately, like, if something were to happen to her, that my entire recovery would not go by the wayside. And because I do need this, and coming back from relapse this time especially has shown me this program in a totally different way, and my disease and how freaking powerful my disease is, like, my mind and how it does try to pull me back into the insanity. And it's so cunning that, like, I don't even see it until when I'm not, like, working this program. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Amy N. Sherry H.M., you're up next. You'll be followed by Jody E.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., gratefully recovered in Washington State. I really love that this paragraph is talking about enabling. It's talking about, like so many people have already said, you know, not doing for someone, your sponsee, or I'm going to say whoever, what they could be doing themselves. They need to rely on their higher power and I'm not their higher power. You are not their higher power. So the beauty of this part for me is that it deals with enabling, in my opinion, across the board, letting the natural consequences happen for people. This person, you know, should have, well, probably eventually got his own housing or her own housing. And that piggybacks onto that kind of codependency, doing too much for people and trying to fix people. That codependency was actually one of the roots of my disease. I was a people pleaser. I tried to do everything for everybody except myself, it seems like, and that led to some chronic illnesses, lupus and ankylosing spondylitis, and it didn't do me any good. So it's a gift to them. There's no managing, mothering, you know, unless it's your kid and they're not grown, or manipulating, and to just lean on higher power, lean on God, and let them do the work. We can't do it for them. So thank you so much, and have a beautiful Wednesday. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. Jody E., you're up next, followed by Elizabeth A.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Elaine. And good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. Well, I'm thinking back to my early years in the program when I was married and had a daughter at home and was kind of on fire, even though I wasn't necessarily even abstinent all the time. But I was on fire, And I did want to carry this message, and I think largely because I was frustrated with myself and my life in many ways, because I was not pursuing a career. I wanted to bring people, I kind of wanted to bring people home if I could. I wanted to be a savior, I suppose, because I was lost in a way, still, even though I had found the program. I still hadn't learned to mind my own business and take care of myself and my challenges in life, which included my relationships at home and my personal responsibilities to my family, which were to contribute. But I didn't. I was just a stay-at-home mom, which was fine and great and wonderful, and I'm grateful that I could do that. But I struggled in finding a way to make a living. And rather than put my nose to the grindstone, I could have become a counselor or something. But no, I just kind of made problems for my family. Anyway, it takes what it takes. And today I certainly realized that I'm not going to be bringing my sponsees home with me now. There are treatment centers. If they really need a treatment center, there are treatment centers. And I love to go on retreat with other compulsive overeaters, but I'm not going to be bringing them home because it wouldn't even be good for me, most likely. There do need to be boundaries, absolutely. So that's my little story about this, and I pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody E. Elizabeth A. is up next, and after that, we're going to take another lineup on page 97, paragraph 2, short paragraph. We seldom allow an alcoholic, and it ends with creates serious complications in the family. So please share with us, Elizabeth A.
Good morning. This is Elizabeth A. from Michigan, and I'll try to be concise, but I feel like, oh my gosh, I could go on about this paragraph. I moved to Detroit, Michigan area by myself for a job that didn't last long, and someone in program did take me in. It did not go well. This was, 30 years ago or something. And I was still binging and not a great house guest, but I desperately needed that time for various reasons. So I moved a lot. I had a lot of growing to do. We ended up, my husband and I, fast forward, taking someone into our home. He had torched his marriage through various addictive behaviors, not food. And we made it clear to him that we were not his support team, that he needed to do his own recovery. There were boundaries that he wasn't to be in the house if my husband wasn't home. And he was very careful. And he did end up reconciling with his wife, and my husband just ran into the wife by happenstance, and they're doing marvelously well, which is, it wasn't us. That was God's job, and that was our friend's job. But after 10 months in our home, I was ready to kill the guy. I have to be honest, the resentment and frustration, and it was, you know, it was time to go. And we had another circumstance. We almost took my brother-in-law in, and he had earned himself a felony. And it was such a miracle that we dodged that bullet. He just wasn't ready. So that is not our practice to take people in, but just being sensitive to how God leads us. And I'm grateful to have played a part in that marriage, but I don't take credit. I mean, it wasn't me, obviously. This man did his work. So it is one day at a time, and it is the direction of my higher power. And I can't do it without God. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth A. Appreciate your share so much. Okay. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 97, paragraph 2, please press star 1 to unmute. Let me know.
Nancy LJ, California.
Nancy LJ. Who'd like to follow Nancy? Any level of experience, strength, and hope, even if people didn't live in your house, would love to hear how you've managed.
Luann C., Boise, Idaho.
Luann C. Who'd like to speak after Luann?
Jim C., New York.
I heard Jim C. and somebody else?
Dina A.
Dina A. Okay. Great. We'll have room for a couple more shares after Elizabeth A., Nancy LJ., Luann C., Jim C., and Dina A. And actually, Elizabeth A. already shared, I believe. So Nancy LJ., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you. Hi, everyone. Nancy LJ. So grateful to be recovered in California. And I was a little bit sleepy this morning logging on to the meeting. And I got to say, just after this little bit of time, I'm just feeling hopeful and happy for the day and grateful for the day. This to me screams, be respectful of others in your home. Be respectful of your relationships. Part of the reason why I hit rock bottom most recently was, or actually initially went before I came into program, was, for instance, my daughter would call me and invite me to dinner. And I would make up an excuse. I would lie and say I had other plans. And the reason being is she served measured portions. You know, she had a family of four on a budget, and she wouldn't have 3, 4, 5 portions for me. So I would say no. And when I, you know, that was one of the things that I looked at in my life was, my God, my daughter, my only daughter, that one I love more than anybody in this entire world, I'm lying to over food. And so fast forward today, I currently live with my family. I'm so blessed. I live with my daughter, my son-in-law, my two grandchildren. The relationships bloomed and blossomed, and I don't lie to my daughter anymore. And I too eat portioned food. Who would have thought? But I need to be respectful of their time. I need to be respectful in the home, my family. One evening, my phone was, you know, dinging and ringing, and my daughter commented, not in a bad way, just, wow, Mom, your phone's blowing up. And I thought, yeah, it is kind of blowing up. And I thought, you know, at that point, I'm like, I'm gonna do a cutoff point, because around 5 o'clock at my house, the kitchen's busy, everybody's home from school and work, and kids are doing homework, and we're in there cooking and dishes and making lunches, and it's kind of the time we can all kind of rebond, even though, you know, we're busy, and not a time to be talking on the phone with fellows. So I get my work done by 5 p.m. and then I cut it off. That's my personal thing. And it's just a way of nurturing my most important relationships with my family. Thanks to this program. If I didn't have this program, I wouldn't have those relationships. But it's just a matter of respect. Thank you. Respect and boundaries for me.
Thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy J. LJ. Luann C., you're up next, followed by Jim C.
Thank you, Elaine. I'm Luann C., recovered in Boise, Idaho. And I'm just so grateful for everybody serving, and all the shares this month have been so helpful to me. This short paragraph keeps bringing home for me the idea of balance, you know, and bringing a sponsee into my home in my mind. So like yesterday, you know, I'm currently have this one sponsee that I am seeing through my own codependence. They're listening for me. And I was thinking about, you know, how to get the message across and blah, blah, blah. And I was really obsessing about it. And I noticed that with my husband, I was helping him do something, and everything he did, I was totally agitated about it. You know, it was like, you know, getting upset with my husband. And it dawned on me, this isn't about my husband. This is because I'm obsessing back here over my sponsee. So I'm bringing, instead of letting the program work and you know, passing on the program, I was back here, you know, how am I going to get this thing happening with him, you know? So, you know, I'm just thinking about it with this paragraph that you have to be careful of the balance of my home, because it does cause complications when I bring the work past its natural working time with the person. And, you know, I recently talked with my sponsor, and we were talking about balance. You know, God first, my spouse next, and then my program work. And so I'm kind of learning that now, and just grateful for the reminder. And I'm just really grateful. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you for your share, Luann. Jim C., you are up next, followed by Diane A. Oh, Dina A.
Hello, this is Jim C. in New York, gratefully recovering compulsive eater. Really super grateful, everybody who takes the time to be here. I was feeling really antsy this morning, but I had a long drive for work, and I said, you know what, I'm going to dial in and listen. I don't often catch a live meeting, but I caught one today. And then there was silence when it was who's going to share next, so I figured I'd jump in. And then also higher power at work. I am just starting step 12, and to be in this section of the book is just feeling like higher power at work. And I am so grateful for all of the shares and how relevant it is to what I'm doing right now with wrapping my head around what step 12 means and what sponsorship means, and how I'm going to fold it in to what already feels like an overwhelming amount of self-care and stuff happening in my life. So it worked. I dialed in because I was feeling antsy, and already, I don't know, what are we, a little over halfway through, and I already feel totally different in a good way. So really appreciate everybody. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Jim C. Welcome to Step 12 and continue for a lifetime. Dina A., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. Dina A., gratefully recovered in New Jersey. So I also just called in middle of the meeting and just heard a little quiet. I'm like, you know what? It's higher power giving me that little push to participate in my recovery and to share with my beautiful fellows this morning. So we seldom allow an alcoholic to live in our homes for a long time. Now, I never had a compulsive eater or an alcoholic or a sponsee living in my house. But in the beginning, when I just came into program around 15 years ago, maybe 14, I had my teenage daughter at the time. She was probably like 14, less, maybe she was 12. And she made me a cartoon with a picture in each box of one of my family members coming to a dire end, like drowning or in a fire. There's a fire in the house and there's mom like with a fan, or there's drowning and I've got a boat and no one else has one. And you know, like things happen with them, a kid is choking and I'm just on the phone with my sponsee's name and it's like, yeah, we're just so serene. We have serenity. It was a real reality check, and I was so grateful for it. I remember gratefully recovered enough to take the hints and to really balance. It's always been a juggle. I'm not even saying now that I'm perfect at it. At some points, I went over to the other side. My family needs me. I can't do so much program work. And maybe it's just because life has balanced out. My children have grown now, and it's easier, so I shouldn't take. Higher power is really showing me that balance between my family and their needs and program work and my needs for that and higher power's will. And the funniest part is that many times the quote-unquote alcoholics that I have living in my home that cause complications are actually family members. They may not be alcoholic, and I'm not going to label anybody and anything-aholic, but some of those personalities living in my home or coming in as, in-laws, do cause complications, and there's like always that pause and pray. I used to think I have to know what to do. Like, no, they can't come. The kids will don't hate it. Yes, they have to come because my husband wants them to. Like, I always thought that I had to be the one to decide, but I'm learning slowly that pause, pray, and either way, God can teach me something and can teach everybody something. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Dina A. We have time for two more shares. On page 97, paragraph 2, who would like to share? Star 1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Sarah in Washington. I can share.
Okay, Sarah, and let's see if there's one more that wants to come up after you. Please go ahead and share. Maybe you'll inspire someone for our final share. Thanks, Sarah.
Great. Thank you so much. And my apologies for being late. I missed my reading this morning, and I feel terrible about that. But thank you for those who covered and for your service, Elaine, and everyone on the meeting. My name is Sarah N. from Washington, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And this paragraph hit me in a different way because I'm currently 55, and during my adult life, my mom would often say, you know, well, if things get too hard, you always have a home here. You can always come home. And unfortunately, I would do that quite often. I'd move, and then things were too hard out in the big world. I'm paying my rent. I've got, you know, house. I've got a job, and it was too hard. Sometimes it was for other reasons, but I was always going back to mom and dad's. And at 50 years old, when I was back to mom and dad's, it was like, you know what, this is ridiculous. I'm too old to be, you know, still going back to mom and dad's. And so, gratefully, later, my mother was also suffered from this disease, but she got in recovery. And really, it's more about my recovery. When I got in, I realized what I was doing, it's like, when do you take someone, whether it's your child or a friend or someone, because a lot of us inherit this disease. And so just thinking about, you know, this enabling, I was able to reflect, I felt like it had was enabling me to not grow and to not be strong. You know, and I probably would have appreciated more saying, you know what, you got this, you can do it. You've got a higher power, but, you know, the encouragement just to keep going, just to keep moving forward, take the next right action. Like, and so I appreciate the love and the support. And I know, you know, my mom's heart was in a good place to want to help me and rescue me. But unfortunately, it created a pattern where it was crippling me. And so as a sponsor, it's just, all I can do is, you know, I feel my role as sponsor is to always point someone to the big book. You know, the instructions are written. This is how we deal with life. We put down our substance of choice. For us, you know, it was the food, compulsive overeating. But I also, you know, put down a lot of other behaviors that I discovered in my fourth step, right? I want emotional sobriety. I could stop gossiping, stop doing a lot of other things. So I'm grateful for my sponsors, all of the sponsors I've had in this program who have helped shine a light, you know, in areas and that my higher power has revealed things to me that I needed to amend and behaviors, thoughts, attitudes, and change. So ultimately, it's our higher power giving us the strength to do what we can't do for ourselves. And I'm grateful to be able to shine a light, help people find this solution, spiritual solution to, thank you, the physical and mental malady that we suffer from, right, without a passing.
Thank you very, very much, Sarah M. Final opportunity to share your experience, strength, and hope on working with others. Now closer to a 2-minute share. Anybody like to jump in? Star one to unmute. I'll make a quick comment before we go on, which is just, you know, we need to create the boundaries for sponsees so that they do not trust and rely upon us, that they do not seek us to be their solution, because this is all about turning to a power greater than ourselves. Okay. Well, unless somebody wants to take one quick minute, then we will close just a little early.
This is Nirvana A from California.
Okay, Nirvana, you got about a minute, okay?
Okay, I just wanted to say, well, thank you for all the shares. I haven't been sharing because I drive to work and sometimes I have that connection. But I wanted to share, sometimes it's not coming to our home, but coming into our minds. I have a lot of problem people, well, I used to have a lot more, that take up space in my head. And I think that's worse than taking space up in your house. So dealing with that as well is good. Today it made me realize, oh, they might not be in my house, but they're up in my head. So trying to put a boundary even in my head not to have these people take up so much space because they don't even pay rent in my head. So with that, I want to pass and thank everyone.
Oh, thank you so much, Nirvana A, closing us out in that special way. Really appreciate it. Okay, we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leslie M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Sure. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine. Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service.